Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the special edition of the Strang Report. And we're doing this on Friday, November 13th. And in my line of work, I get to interview a lot of interesting people. And I think you're going to enjoy my interview today with Ray Hall. We're going to find out about his ministry. He has given approximately 12 or 13 million books to prisoners. And this is a ministry that's near and dear to my heart. In fact, we wrote about his ministry back in the 1990s and have worked with him off and on ever since, mainly through our nonprofit partner, Christian Life Missions. And I don't very often record a podcast about Christian Life Missions, but this is so important to me that I wanted to share it with you. So stay tuned. You're going to be inspired by what Ray Hall and his wife Joyce have accomplished. And hopefully it'll help you know that you can accomplish something big for God as well. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Well, welcome back and welcome to you, Ray and Joyce. I appreciate you coming over. You're located in Titusville, Florida, not very far from us in Orlando. And an awful lot of the interviews I do are over the telephone because people are all over the country. But I'm just so happy to be able to partner with the prisonbookproject.org to get these Bibles and books into the hands of prisoners. It's something that Christian Life Missions has been doing maybe even as far back as the 50s. I wasn't involved back then, believe it or not. We have donated tens of thousands of books over the years, and we've raised a lot of money through Christian Life Missions to do it as well. So why don't you start by telling me why you got into this ministry, and also, you know, as we talk and as we have a conversation, I want to find out some of the stories of changed lives and the reaction that you get when you go in all these prisons.
We began in 1994, and I had a friend of mine that had been unjustly accused of a crime, and his jealous ex-wife was intent on destroying him, and the thing went to a trial finally, and he was found not guilty. But he was in the Brevard County Jail, and his wife tried to give him a Bible, tried to get his Bible to him, and they wouldn't permit it in there, and that's the rules. So she didn't know that, but she wanted me to call the chaplain and see if I could, you know, swing something. And I called the chaplain. Chaplain said, "We got plenty of Bibles. All he has to do is ask for it." And I relayed that information to her, and he did, in fact, apply for a Bible, and he got it 6 months and two days later. It took a long time. So, but I was just sitting on my back porch. I used to smoke, and I had to go out there to smoke, and just talking to the Lord, you know, which we do all the time. And I said, "Lord, I don't know what to do about this. You know, crime is just getting out of hand, and I don't know what to do about it. You know, I'm just a dumb hillbilly." And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "Clean Westerns." And I said, "Wait a minute. You know, in them Westerns, those people kill one another, and all kinds of terrible stuff going on." And I waited a second or two, and he didn't say anything else. And then he showed me a vision, and I knew what it was. It was my library inside the house. And the vision was encircled, was really foggy, and there's less foggy thing in the right in the middle. So I went in the house, right in the less foggy thing, and pulled a book out. Louis L'Amour, Mustang Man. And the book started out where this guy had been on the trail a long time, and went into town, went into a bar. That's where you get all the news at. And one of the local bullies started picking on him, and it was the wrong guy to pick on. So he shot him. And the town folks says, "You know, we're glad you did this," and all that kind of stuff. But he's a friend, his daddy is a friend of the sheriff, and he'll hang you whether you're guilty of murder or not. So you better get out of town. So he did. And he rode as hard as he could, and he looked behind him, he saw a dust trail. And he went over this little bank, and there was three horses there. And his horses wore out, so he was going to trade horses. He roped one of the horses, put a saddle on him, and started to cinch up the saddle, and he heard this voice behind him. I never did see nobody take off to get something what didn't belong to them, unless they either ended up at the end of a rope or with a bullet in their gut. Whoa. So the guy explained to the guy and traded horses and rode off. Well, the interesting thing is that story's not in that book.
What happened?
God put it there. But that's with that kind of stuff in a book, that's what those guys in jail need, clean Westerns, okay? And I called the chaplain, and chaplain said, "You sure it was God talking to you?" I said, "I don't know who was talking to me, but I heard the voice." I even looked under my chair, I remember, to see if somebody tried to trick me and put a speaker in there or something. But that started Prison Book Project. And for the first 3 years, well, when we finally got it into the jail, started doing things in the jail, the jail was having a lot of lawsuits back then. Prisoners were filing lawsuits about everything. So the jailer, the chief of the jail, and the sheriff decided what I was doing was a good thing, and I was going with Christian stuff too. So it's okay, 50% Christian, 50% non-Christian, but the non-Christian can be constructive in nature, and that we still do that at that jail. The only thing we mail out, ship out, is Christian stuff. But we still treat the jail the same way we did back in 1994.
Because the books we'll get for you are Christian books.
Right.
It's the books about the Holy Spirit or improving your prayer life or how to forgive people, you know, many, many things. And, of course, the Bible is the Word of God. So you ship these around the country, and you showed me a picture of a map. I think it's in your ministry where you have a pin everywhere. And I mean, it was like the whole United States, except for the desert parts had pins in them. How many ministries or I should say jails and so forth do you work with?
2,716 as of last Friday. We haven't taken on any new ones this
week.
So
you have actually sent books and Bibles to that many prisons. And how do you pay for all this?
We raise money to pay for the UPS shipping. We used to use post office, but too many boxes were getting damaged, so we went to UPS, and they serve us well. They give us a good rate, and that's how we do it.
So when my listeners, because we're going to invite them to give through Christian Life Missions, which is our nonprofit partner, everything we do that's charitable and nonprofit, we do it through our nonprofit partner, have been doing this for years. So it'll buy books at a very rock bottom price, or take books that even publishers give you that are damaged, and also help pay for the shipping. So the more money we raise, the more books we can give out. Is that right?
Right. We currently have, over the years, 39 different Christian publishers have provided books to us. We currently have 19 publishers that are providing material. Zondervan and Thomas Nelson sold out to a secular company, and they don't do it anymore. And several others went out of business. But currently, I think it's 17. And we get a lot of stuff. We got two skids in this morning from Destiny Image. And most of it is books that have been returned, you know, didn't sell. And we just mix those things up and send them out.
And to the prisoners who are stuck there, now are these, I know a jail is less than a year and a prison is over a year. Is that how it works?
Generally.
So is it mostly state prisons or is it county jails that you work with?
Both, yeah.
So the people are there, even if someone's in a county jail, sometimes awaiting trial or something, and they have a lot of time on their hand, and they don't have a whole lot of entertainment. So I guess you have stories about people reading these books. You have stories of changed lives?
26 years, there's been, well, we get 15,000 letters a year. And stories galore. But we send boxes or try to send boxes to chaplains as opposed to sending individual packages. But one day a week, we take care of the individual packages where we can't get chaplain cooperation or facility cooperation. And we just took to the post office this morning 60 packages going to individuals. We put four books in a package in a Tyvek envelope and send to the individuals. But the boxes go out 35, 40 boxes a day going to chaplains. And it depends on how many people are in the facility as to how many boxes we'll send. So
I want to encourage people to give. They can give with confidence. They'll get a tax receipt from Christian Life Missions. And we will channel 100% of what comes in to Prison Book Project. Hopefully we will do that over time. But, you know, for the next month or two, this is going to be a real focus in Charisma Magazine, on my podcast, on our Christian Life Missions website, and so forth. And as I've said earlier, we have raised so much money over the years. We haven't done it in a year or two. We've raised money for some orphanages and disaster relief and a number of things. But I just felt in my spirit that the time to do this is now. In fact, we were getting ready to do it right before the whole COVID shutdown came. And so we're just kind of cranking it back up. So Christian Life Missions website is real simple. It's christianlifemissions.org. That, you know, as if it's one word, Christian Life Missions. We also call it CLM, but our website is christianlifemissions.org. And there will be information on there on how to give. Or I'll give you our mailing address if you want to give the old-fashioned way. A lot of people, in fact, the largest donations we get are usually by mail. I guess maybe people don't feel comfortable, you know, giving online. But it would be Christian Life Missions, 600 Reinhart Road, and Reinhart is spelled R-I-N-E-H-A-R-T, Lake Mary, Florida, 32746. And the nice thing about a podcast is you can stop it and back it up if you didn't write it down the first time. But I encourage you to go to the website, see the information, and give. And I'm going to give personally. Christian Life Missions is going to give. But we need your help. Together, we can do so much more than we can do separately. And this goes back to 1952 when Christian Life Magazine, which was kind of the forerunner of Charisma, started this and raised money from its readers to send to Christians in Korea who were just coming out of the Korean War, and they were desperately, desperately poor, and they had not enough to eat. And enough money came in that they sent to these people that they actually started Christian Life Missions. It took them a couple of years to get an official board going, but Christian Life Missions was actually a charter member way back in the day, probably the early 90s. It was before I was... Well, actually, it would have been before that, probably the early 80s, when the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability started some of the big ministries, Billy Graham's ministry, Focus on the Family, a few ministries like that went together and felt that there needed to be sort of an oversight and watchdog group because there had been some kind of scandal way back then because I guess nobody was looking. And Christian Life Missions was one of the charter members. 25 members were charter members, were still members in good standing. Now I think ECFA has, I don't remember the number exactly, but it's somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 members, and it's gotten, you know, very large. But I just say that to give you some credibility. We've been doing this a long time. We do what we say, but we need your help. I give a lot. I'm one of the major givers for the ministry, as you can imagine. But there's a limit to what one individual or one company can give. But together, we can do so much more. Over the years, we've raised millions of dollars. And, you know, I would be so blessed to be able to raise $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, whatever it is that comes in, whether it's $5, $10, whatever. Some of you may want to give on a monthly basis. We have a number of people that will have a heart for a certain ministry and want to give every single month. And of course, we pass all that along 100%. You have my word. It's on our website. We've been doing it for years. So I hope that you will be touched in your heart. I pray that you'll give. Like I said, I don't do this on my podcast very often, but I just felt that we should come alongside Ray Hall. What he has been doing, he's in a time of life when a lot of people slow down, and he's moving faster than ever. And I just so admire what he's doing. So as we wrap up this podcast, Ray, I'll give you kind of the last word. You know, I meant to get you to tell people how old you were. You told me a little while ago, and to meet your lovely wife, Joyce. Joyce, before we wrap up, is there anything you'd like to say?
Well, you had said asked if we had any interesting stories. My favorite one is the one where a lady had written, and she had was going to commit suicide, and she was she had it planned down. She was, you know, she had the date set. And she went into the counselor's office, and she asked her about death and stuff. And the counselor gave her a coloring book, and she said, "I don't want a coloring book." She said, "I'm going to die. I don't want a color." She said, "We'll take it anyhow, and you know, see what." So she took it back, and she started coloring. And there was a scripture. It was a Christian coloring book that we had sent to them. And in the top corner, it was a Psalms of, you know, David crying out to the Lord to help him. And over the days, she kept reading that and coloring. And the day that she had planned to commit suicide came and went. And she realized that she no longer wanted to commit suicide. And someone asked her one day, they said, "What was the turning point in your life?" And she said, "The coloring book." And it wasn't the coloring book. It was the scripture. You know, she was reading that over and over, you know, in her life. And Ray has one where the guy was... He said he was, how old, 60?
Oh, yeah.
And he says, "I've been an old fool. I'm going to die here in prison. I've wasted my life." He said, "I've been thinking a lot about death." He said, "Can you send me a Bible?" You know, so it's things like that where, you know, people are reaching out and they are looking. They're looking for God. They're looking for hope. And, you know, the only place they're going to find it is in God's word.
Well, I don't have a whole lot of interaction with prisons, but I know two people. One of them is actually a distant cousin who did white-collar crime, and they got caught. And both of them have been in a long time, and both of them have, I mean, when you read their letters, it's like the Apostle Paul. I mean,
yeah.
They have really
yeah.
grown spiritually. I guess this is how they try to put up with their incarceration. Yeah. Both of them. Their wives left them, of course, and I think the one will be in the rest of his life, and the other one has been in for maybe 25 years and is almost at the end. But, I mean, you know, he went in a young man, and now he's in his 60s. And but I thought, you know what? God works all things together for good, doesn't he? And,
yeah.
and really what's important is the spiritual aspect, you know. I went to a funeral this week, and the minister referred to the wonderful godly lady who had died, he referred to her earth suit.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "She's not here. It's just her earth suit." And I thought, well, that was kind of an interesting way to say it. And all of us are going to die someday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's how we live forever. And you know, even prisoners, they're serving a debt to society, but they're human beings. They're created by God. God has some kind of destiny for them. And so hopefully these books and Bibles will help people. You know, there was a fad in the publishing industry a few years ago with coloring books. We published a lot of coloring books. You know, that may have been one of ours. They sold, and then they didn't sell. And we gave most of them to prisoners. And we even had a journaling Bible where it was the Word of God. And it wasn't a coloring book like children would use, but there were black and white illustrations, I guess you'd call them, that you could color if you wanted to, as you were, you know, meditating. And there were a lot of people who did it as a hobby. You know, it was how they would de-stress from being on the cell phone and in front of the computer and the phone ringing all the time. And so that's just such a beautiful, beautiful story about that coloring book. And you have no way of knowing whose it is, but I'm just going to believe that it was one of ours.
Yeah.
And of course, you know that there's so many other stories like that. So I really, really appreciate you sharing that. And Ray, as we wrap up, I'll give you the last word.
You know, just after we started, we did some tests and did it four times, as a matter of fact. We calculate that each book will be read by 30 different people.
Wow.
The average reading time is 8 hours. That's 240 man-hours of ministry. That's one preacher for a whole week in one book. That's effective.
It is effective. And, you know, some of the money will go to shipping. Some will to buy books at cost. You know, of course, the cost is far, far less than what the retail value would be. But, you know, if somebody gives, $1 or $2 will provide a book and have it shipped. And so if you can just think that you give $10 or $20 or $50 and that it'll be read by all these people, and yes, it takes a while to read a book. And if you're in prison and you have a lot of time, I guess that's how you kind of while away the time. But that, I mean, just think of the millions of books you've done times 30. I mean, can you believe it? Yeah. Think of the lives that have been touched, and hopefully there are many, many more stories. So thank you both for taking time to drive over here to be on my podcast. When I can, I'd love to have people in the studio rather than just do everything on the telephone. And we can just believe God. We're believing God that we're planting good seeds, even by doing this podcast, putting it on Facebook, doing other things. We're planting good seeds that's going to result in a harvest of souls and also a harvest of spiritual maturity by some of these people who've been touched by the Lord and in a very, very difficult situation trying to serve the Lord the best they can. So thank you to my listeners for listening. Remember that you can participate through Christian Life Missions. We will send you a tax receipt for whatever you donate, of course, and we will pass 100% along to the Prison Book Project, either for books or for shipping. It'll be direct cost to get it in the hands of prisoners. 2,600 different prisoners or prisons, and really the only limitation is having enough books. The more books, you can send to more prisons. And so thank you for listening. Share this with friends. Let's get this going viral, whether it's on Facebook or it's my podcast. Just send a link to people, especially maybe you know somebody who's got a loved one in prison or maybe someone who's supported this kind of ministry in the past and you'd like to do it again. Thank you for listening to the Strang Report today on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.